the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
All right, download the free Odyssey app and listen to 95.7 The Game wherever you go. Catch all the live games on the app along with all the music and news the Bay Area needs. Catch amazing interviews, too, like the one we're about to have right now. My girl Sabrina Ellison, Director of Entertainment Teams with the Golden State Warriors. And we got some big announcements coming. Director of Entertainment with the Golden State Warriors, of course, Sabrina Ellison. And we got a big reveal with the dance team coming up. We're going to find out when and what and how to direct the fans to see this reveal, because we all love our dance team. I mean, look, you got to have a good basketball team on the court, but you better have a good dance team. And the Warriors usually have one of the best dance teams in all the NBA. I always see them working out or whatnot. Sabrina, good morning to you. Welcome to the Morning Roast. Joe Sasko, the Butcher, and of course, Bonte Hill. What's up, Sabrina?
Good morning. It's an honor to be with you guys.
An honor?
An honor. It's an honor to be talking to you. I always see you. So, Sasko, whenever I'm going to the media center at Chase Center, the dance team is always working. I'm like, man, I don't want to run in there. Sabrina's right there working them left and right. Hey, Bonte, what's going on? Because she allowed me and Guru a couple years ago to judge. I'm a little disappointed we weren't allowed to judge this time around, Sabrina. So tell us, what's going on with the new dance team here?
Oh, my man, you can come and judge anytime. But very excited. It's been a long month. We went through a one-month process with our four dance teams in July. We had over 500, 600 dancers that applied, and our final team will be a team of 94. We did a live audition this past Sunday there at Thrive City Plaza, right at Chase Center. Had some amazing judges like Rita Moreno, who's literally a Hollywood legend, and just some great, great people on our panel to help us select the final teams for the Golden State Warriors, and I'm pumped. They are going to be an electric performance squad this season.
Saskia, I now understand why we weren't invited. They got Hollywood stars now.
What makes a candidate? What makes a great candidate for the dance team?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we have four different teams. So we have a kids team, a women's traditional team, a blue crew, like swagger hip hop squad. And then we have our beloved senior dance team, which is the Hardwood Classic. So what's beautiful about the Golden State Warriors is we have dancers from ages 9 all the way to 79 years old.
What?
So obviously, I know, it's pretty magical, honestly. So dance, of course, DNA, because we're looking for ambassadors for our organization. And so really looking for someone that can perform, electrify our fan base, and then someone that can be just a positive influence in the community for our brand.
If we did Who Got Served, me versus Bonte, who do you think will win?
Ooh, well, I have a personal relationship with Bonte, so I'm going to pick him.
Oh, you're going to be wrong there. You know what, Sabrina? You know what? I got to say, you're picking the right guy.
So cute, so you have to pick you.
And not only that, I'll send you the video of Shask and I on stage with the 49ers cheer dance team in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. Your boy's getting out there, Sabrina.
I mean, that move would have lasted on the 79-year-old team. I don't know what you were doing.
Well, I'm no Festus Ezeli. Festus Ezeli got the dance last year. Remember that, Sabrina?
Yes, he did. He cut a rug. That was super fun. And man, the Hardwood Classic enjoyed their time dancing with him.
Now, the Hardwood Classic team is all great. They're all very, very nice. So again, how do the fans direct us to the website for the reveal? When will it get revealed, the new dance team here? What website can we check out? Because we're excited about this.
Yeah, so are the dancers. I'm sure they've been clicking the website for days now. But today is the actual reveal at 4 o'clock. 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll be showcasing it on Warriors.com, our website, and then on the dance team's Instagram at GSW Dance Team. So check them out. 4 o'clock today is the big reveal.
Oh, 4 o'clock today. And Sabrina, how long have you been with the Warriors? Because you're one of those people behind the scenes that make this organization so great. Getting to meet you a few years ago. Anna loves you. You hooked her up with some seats one time. And just how long have you been with the Warriors and doing this?
Yeah, I've been with the Warriors since 2011, and I've loved every minute of it.
Wow, that's really cool. So one last thing. Back in the day, they had this thing called the Weekend Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a bunch of like heavyset dudes with beards and stuff going out there and dancing. It was kind of like a joke, but it was also, these guys were like, to your point of cutting a rug,
they were getting after it.
Do you still do that?
No, you know what? I actually, one day I was like cleaning out our storage and I was like, who's the Weekend Warriors? And my boss at the time was like, oh, it was the team that we had prior to you. So I didn't even get to have any experience with them, but I did definitely heard about them.
And the junior jazz team, maybe LJ gets on the junior jam team one day.
It would help. I mean, Joe Montana was into ballet. It will help him in sports. I'm here for it.
Get him on.
Get him on. Baby Chaz is calling you, Dave. Hey, it's Sabrina, I'm proud of you, man. You're doing a great job with the dance team. We always love the performances. You got, but don't forget, don't ever ask me to go out there on the court or Joe Shasky. We're not festive.
No, I like to dance at weddings. I love dancing at weddings.
Well, you want to dance at Chase Sitter?
Well, dancing at weddings is different than dancing in front of a crowd. Yeah, my sister used to dance in front of a crowd.
Yeah, no, that's hard. That's
she
hard.
Was jazz, hip hop, ballet. She did it all. Tap dance.
Ooh, I love it. Well, maybe you guys can come in like Festus and do like a little guest appearance here and there.
I'll let Shasky do that. You know, I got to get ready for the post-game show, Sabrina. I got work to do.
If you get me on that floor, I might do it.
Oh, he will do it.
I love it.
Director of Entertainment for the Golden State Warriors, Sabrina Ellison. Sabrina, good work. We'll be tapped in at 4 o'clock. We'll be tapped in at 4 o'clock. And we want to judge next year. Do not forget about us next year, Sabrina.
I won't. I will let my PR team to make sure that they tap you and get you guys on that panel.
Sounds good.
There it is. Sabrina, have a good day. We'll be waiting at 4 o'clock.
Thanks, you guys. Have a good one.
Anytime. Sabrina's good people.
Very good. And I know like we're going to get right to Shana Rubin here in a second, talk a little Giants. But I was thinking, like, and I see it in the YouTube chat, you know, what if the Morning Roast had a dance team? What would the name be? And I was thinking about this, right? Because, like, the Warriors, they had the Weekend Warriors, a bunch of OG dudes, you know? Mm-hmm. Think of, like, you know, dad bod guys going out there.
Which I have. I'm working on.
The Pitchforkers.
Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't that be us?
We've had the Pittsburgh
storming the gates every day based on what team is not doing up to our expectations.
You know, I think about like growth.
And instead of like blunts, instead of like torches, they've got blunts and everybody's like coming, we're storming the gates with pitchforks and blunts.
You know,
40 ounces.
Flip said, about listening to us, and I've been stuck on that for a little bit now, and you're talking about pitchforks or whatnot.
Well, that was the best tweet yesterday.
Shut up.
We're going to be there at the roast. Somebody tweeted at you. Yeah. Pitchforks at the ready. I was like, this is great.
I said, we're back. I mean, this is what we do.
Everybody says San Francisco radio is soft. Bay Area radio is soft. Not us.
Somebody said, I was talking about the Yankee swagger, the clubhouse. I was like, man, they got swagger, man. We give a Soler, but anything, he had swagger. The earring, the Jesus piece, and the pockets out of the pants. Custom J's. I'm like, that's swagger. And so I said, why don't you go root for the Yankees, go do radio on the East Coast? And I was like, we fit right in with the East Coast. I know for sure we'd make it out there. Because whenever we go out there, when we went to Boston, WEEI, we sat in on that show. They said, we've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, they thought we were some minnows. We came in like some sharks.
They were like, we've never seen anything like this. And they hit the follow buttons like, these guys are incredible. Then we go to Philadelphia. And even the Philly guys was like, well, these dudes are different. Angelique Cotondi said, you guys did something to the city I've never seen done ever. And we've had simulcasts with people at Crosstalk.
And they thought they were sharks, and we told them we were orca whales. I knew you'd like that. I just keep upgrading.
That's a two. That's good material, man. And the fact that I know what the whale is because of Baby Chaz, it's the only reason why I know what that is, because we've gone to the Monterey Bay Aquarium a million times in the California Academy of Science. I haven't talked to Shana Rubin in a long time. I love Shana Rubin. She's, you know, you talk about people who's come up. We talk about our journeys or whatnot. I remember Shana Rubin being in the press box, quiet as hell, back in 2014, 15. And she's worked so damn hard. And for the Mercury News, now for the San Francisco Chronicle, and now she's on the Giants beat. And she's done everything. Warriors, A's, Giants, you name it. All the odd jobs. Shana, it's always good to have you on the Morning Roast. I'm proud of you. You're doing great work. And now you're covering this team. What's going on, Shana? Good morning.
What's up, Ante? I like that hype up. Thanks so much. Good to talk to you guys.
Hey, that's what we do. We hype our people up, but you deserve it. You really do deserve it. You're doing a great job. First year on the beat for the Chronicle with the Giants. So let's just get right to it. The moves. How'd you react to the trade deadline yesterday with the Giants, what they did and what they didn't do?
I mean, it's a lot of what we've seen in the past, right? It was surprising and yet not a surprise. It's par for the course. They did a lot and not a lot at the same time. I wrote, and I know this might trigger some Warriors fans out there, but I wrote that it was a little too timelinesy. Mm-hmm. they don't have a Steph Curry, but it reminded me a lot of what I saw covering the Warriors, which is they have two objectives that they're trying to accomplish when they're going to the trade deadline. And I think that that's sort of what we're seeing now is we're seeing you know, they want to develop their young players. They want to give their young players opportunities, but they also have to put up, I don't want to say it's a front, but they also have to keep together what they think is going to get them a postseason opportunity. Yeah. So it feels like there's two things going on and they're trying to make it into one thing.
Yeah, you know, Shane, I'm just curious, like, it seems very incongruous. Like, we're going to stand pat, but we're also going to sell off Soler. And as bad as Soler might have been, you know, throughout the year, he's still one of the best players on the team. And I see the lineup that they trot out there. You're in the locker room or the clubhouse every single day. How did this Soler move land? It was odd to me, considering the lack of other moves around it.
I mean, I think I wasn't expecting, it was a possibility, you know. Soler he's a great player. He's a power hitter. I'm sure there's a lot of guys, obviously there were some teams out there that were looking for a little pop and ejection into their lineup. I think that there was a little bit of, not shock, but it was a little surprising. That was someone that was far down on the list of guys that I expected to go. And I think Elliot Ramos talked a little bit about, you know, he's right around the corner from Soler. I think they were pretty close, and it's a little bit, just like losing any veteran player, it's a little bit of a stunner. But it's, you know, it happens.
Shayna Rubin, you're on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't the time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? So you've covered this team, and you've been in the locker room, in the clubhouse, and you've been on the road with them. Do you get the sense that the Giants have to make the playoffs in order for Farhan Zaidi to keep his job?
I think that, I don't know if this is the fail-safe year for that to happen. I think he's operating, it seems, with a little bit of leeway. I think he's, and by leeway I mean, it seems like I was talking about before, there's 2 feet in different doors. There's the foot that sort of, he wants his guys to come up and show that they are able to take this team to a playoff in the coming years, whatever he has left, and that he wants to get butts in the seats. He wants to generate some excitement with a mix of young and veterans. So I don't think I can say definitively that this is a do or die season for him, because I don't think that there's a whole lot to substantiate that. But it does feel like there's a clock on it. I don't think that he has all the time in the world. I don't think that it's fair for me to come out here and say that there's a deadline,
right,
postseason or bust, he's gone or not. But I do think that, you know, there's every reason to start wondering if the hot seat gets hotter as more time passes. I don't think that he has the longest leash ever. If you continue to play 500 baseball, I will take 2021 out of the equation. If you continue to be a mediocre team and say we have postseason aspirations, but you're hovering under or just over 500 for most of those years, then how long can that? That's not really sustainable. So I think logically speaking, at some point there has to be a line drawn in the sand about when there has to be a shift in philosophy or a shift in leadership or a shift in voice.
You know,
Yeah.
No, I don't mean to interrupt you. That's my fault. I apologize. No, hearing Farhan say, well, you know, Bob really wanted me to trade, and I'm paraphrasing, from Mark Canha. Mm. Are these two even on the same page? Like, who's writing out the lineup cards every day? Like, I was perplexed by that line.
I, from my understanding, they're on the same page. I don't think there's, you know, I think that that's, if anything, just, and Bob said something about, not Canha specifically, but that as the trade deadline, he thought the trade deadline was on Monday, so he was calling up Farhan asking what's going on, we should do this, making his suggestions. I think that he's just got more and more involved in what he would like to see happen. He said pretty openly that he was vocal about some of his ideas. And, I mean, the Matt Chapman signing, that was not all Bob, but I think that he was happy to see one of his guys come back, and he loves Mark. I mean, Mark Canha is he's a good clubhouse guy. He's a good veteran. I mean, aside from the baseball stuff, which I think is pretty conflicting, given they want to give young guys opportunities, and this completely blocks Luis Matos.
Mm-hmm.
But so that was a little bit of a confusing, just ideological flaw. But that's not to say that Canada isn't a great addition, but just in terms of them being on the same page, I didn't take that as a sign that they weren't on the same page. I think that that's just, it was a sign that they're in constant communication.
Well, it does sound like, Shannon, they're going to rely on the starting rotation. Farhan opened that statement saying, hey, we feel like we got the best rotation in baseball. And hopefully it is the best rotation in baseball, because God knows this bullpen needs a break, right, Shayna? This workload with the bullpen, they need Snell to go six. They need Robbie Ray to go six. They need Webb to go 6-7. They need these youngsters in Birdsong and Harrison to go at least six. And that, to me, is a major concern. The lineup is one thing, but boy, you're putting a lot of pressure on this pitching staff, right, Shayna?
Yeah, I think, and we asked Robbie Ray about this yesterday, is, you know, a few hours ago, Farhan basically said the rotation will take us as far as we can go. How do you feel about it? I was like, yeah, that sounds good to me. But it's a lot of pressure on them, right? And now with Alex Cobb gone, you have two rookies leading the charge along with, you know, Snell and Logan Webb and Robbie, but it's a lot on Hayden Birdsong, who's fresh in the league, but it's also what they've been saying since the start is this rotation, that they weren't saying this rotation is the best in baseball, which is something that Farhan said, but from the start they've said we're going to lean on our pitching to get us as far as we think we can go. And now they're leaning even more in that. Now that it seems to be one of the only distinguishing factors they have from the other wild card contenders. And it's a lot of pressure, because with Robbie, I mean, he's just fresh off of Tommy John. He's still sort of landing in back into the league. And we saw yesterday, like, you know, the first game was impressive. There was a lot of adrenaline pumping when he was his first game back, but now a reality hit a little bit where it's like it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment, and there's not a whole lot of runway for him to make mistakes. And with Blake Snell, I mean, I think we've got a good taste of what we all expected to see from him, which is dominance. And then Logan Webb, he's been quite a little bit inconsistent over his last few starts. And I'm not saying I'm concerned about him, but just pointing out that there's a very slim margin for error with the rotation, and a lot of expectation that they're going to lift them above 500, and they've just not been able to get there otherwise. So, and yes, the bullpen's been sort of carrying them a lot of the way, but now we have to see something that was promised at the beginning of the year, which is this rotation is better than the dot, not the dot, this rotation is better than most others. And we'll see. There's only a few weeks left. So we'll see if that's possible.
You have obviously covered the Warriors, and you know how crazy their fans are. Is this the most unhappy you've seen a fan base? The Giants. Like, I'm sure you hear online, in person, a lot of negativity. I'm just curious.
Warriors, Niners, all that stuff.
Yeah, like, what? Like, is this... Because I feel like this was a tipping point this last 72 hours for Giants fans.
I mean, I can't take the justifiably unhappy trophy from the Oakland A's, who are getting everything taken from them.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So take them off the table.
That's a good point.
Perspective, people. but there, I understand why Giants fans are not happy. There's no clear way out of what we're seeing with this team. There's a lot of, it seems like there's some contentment with the mediocrity. And that's what I imagine made the trade deadline so frustrating, is that it's like, you know, what you're seeing is what you're going to keep getting, and we hope that we improve more in this margin and that margin. And I understand why fans might be annoyed that there doesn't seem to be a clear direction. And by that, I mean, you know, what I was talking about before, you pick a lane. Either you are going all in on the youth and okay with not tanking, but bottoming out a little bit and then hoping that things rise from there, or you're okay with spending a lot and going all in on veteran players or free agents or anything like that to avoid the ugliness of watching a young team evolve. But I think that I understand the frustration of what comes out of towing the line. right. or threading the needle. So it's, are they unhappy on Twitter? They look pretty unhappy to me. I try not to base my opinions of what's going on Twitter, but I understand the frustration. It's frustrating when it feels like you're watching the same show over and over again, and you're promised a change, and the change never really comes. So I get it.
Boy, Twitter's never happy. Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, Twitter. It's just, we don't find happiness in Twitter. We just don't. And Giants fans right now are not happy.
There's no happiness there.
No, well, I don't think Giants are happy. Off Twitter, on Twitter,
the
on Instagram.
The memes are funny, though.
The memes are always funny. Just don't like them, Shana. Don't retweet them. Don't press retweet.
Let's try not to.
All right. Shana Rubin here on Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Shana Rubin, Giants beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. Keep up the great work. We're always
Good
reading.
Stuff.
We're always watching. Thank you so much. And congratulations, man. You've really come up in this business. Love seeing your rise.
Thanks, y'all.
Anytime. Shana Rubin. Here on the roast. The two-time, like, it's certainly...
Yeah, but boy, this is where I got it. I'm glad you brought this up. This is where I got into it with Willard, and I'm not trying to pick on Mark.
Yep.
But Mark's like, if the young guys don't play well, you are resorting back to the old guys. Dog, that makes sense when you have franchise players that are playing for legacy.
Yep.
Is there a currently?
There's
is there
no
a
Steph
guy
Curry
as iconic, even as close?
Yo.
Forget Steph.
There's no Draymond Green on
that
team.
That's what I'm saying.
There was no Klay Thompson on this team. I don't even. You know what I'm saying? Chris Paul, Shaw Livingston. Where are those guys at?
So I look at the Marlins and I look at the White Sox, and those are extreme examples of like, yeah, we're not close. We're gonna have to tear it down, right? I get that. The Giants continue to tell themselves that they're close, and they continue to make these moves. And I used the ninth inning last night as an example. Why are you going to Lamont Wade Jr. in that situation? Just let Luciano have the at-bat. He just got a hit, for crying out loud.
I agree.
I mean, like, put yourself in his shoes.
I agree.
I just got called up. All right, I'm batting eighth. Awesome. I just got a hit. Wow, I'm feeling good. I'm seeing the ball well. The ninth inning, I have a chance to, like, prove myself here. I'm a young player. I am, you know, very unproven at the bigs. And you're going to bat four home run Lamont Wade Jr. Here?
Four jacks.
Are you kidding on me?
Jazz Chisholm has four jacks.
Like, and I get where Flem's, like, pointing, like, oh, he gets on base a lot. I mean, the hell with that. The hell with that. Give the kid Luciano a chance.
You know, the two timeline thing, and look, this team, they need to play the youngsters. They should have been playing the youngsters. It should have been a full youth movement from day one. I still get mad about Casey Schmidt. I don't even know what Casey Schmidt is going to be, but I felt very strong about this. Last year, he obviously had a great spring training. Didn't he win an award for best player in spring training or something like that, Casey Schmidt? And you didn't even bring him up to start his first game in the bigs at Yankee Stadium. You took that moment away from him. And on the same day, you make a trader for Matt Beattie. It wasn't even the lineup for opening day or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff I'm talking about. This is small-time operation stuff. This is small market action. Like, this isn't big market stuff.
But this is the part where the analytics drives me insane. What about the psyche? What about the confidence?
That's what I'm saying.
What about the confidence?
Casey Schmidt went back down to the minors like, damn, I could have been rubbing on Babe Ruth's monument. You're not going to want to go visit Mickey Mantle's monument, the great Yankees, and been at Yankee Stadium for my first ever big league game against the Pinstripes. And you took that moment away from him because it just had to play Matt Beattie or make a move for him.
Well, like,
it's little things like that, Shasky. There's a litany of things that we could point to in the 6 years under Farhan Zaidi. We're saying, this ain't big market stuff.
But that's where, like, when you had the Mac Williamsons and the Nate Shearholtz, like, I get being yo-yoing with those guys in that era because you had Buster Posey.
Yeah.
You had Lindsey McCain, and you were going for World Series.
And the World Series trophies, the Pixie Ducks are still shining as bright as when you got the trophy in Kansas City, in Detroit, in Texas.
100%. So I get in that era. What's the excuse in this era? We're going to look back, and this is going to be funny. We're going to look back, and we're going to be like, you really wasted 8 years with Slater? You really played Yaz for 7 years in right field.
And I know I defend Yaz, but it's not even his fault.
And no, but that's what I'm saying.
It's not even his fault. It's like, yeah, you did waste 8 years with these guys.
That's what I'm saying.
You did. Like, you couldn't find nothing else. I mean, and those are nice guys. And we've interviewed Yaz. Yaz is a professional. And I give credit to Yaz. He's playing his ass off. He's batting seventh and eighth, and he's playing solid defense. But I get why fans will get frustrated. I get why he's the poster child, or Austin Slater's the poster child. But then you move off Austin Slater finally. We're like, oh, wow, you are making a youth movement. And then you trade Soler, and you bring in 35-year-old Mark Canna. And look, I know Flim said, and I'm eager to see this one. I'm eager to see how this plays out. Because Flim, I trust Flim. When he told us about Rodney, Flim lays it out for us, and we play it out, and I'm like, oh, wow, Flim did have a point there. He mentioned that Wilmer Flores, we may not see him again. Okay, cool. That opens up that at-bats for a youngster or whatnot. We'll see. But Mark Canna, with the way Bob Melvin spoke yesterday about Mark Canna, and the way Farhan Zaidi yesterday spoke about Mark Canna, I do believe he's going to play more than we all think.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's just here just to be here. Yeah, situational at-bats against lefties? Sure. He's going to play some games. He's going to take some at-bats from somebody. And so that's where we're at. We're like, did we really have to go out and get Mark Canna? Why not just go get Luis Matos to get some speed, and hopefully he feels a little confident over these last 2 months?
Here's the way I would describe it. For all 49er fans out there, the analogy is the Giants are addicted to the Jeff Wilson Jr. types.
Oh, my God.
What? Like a solid guy.
Well, you know what, though?
Like a solid player.
You could never take away that 3-touchdown game on the road against the Patriots.
That's my point. Like he's addicted to the Jeff Wilson Jr. type. Am I wrong?
No, you're not.
It's a great analogy, no?
You're not.
It's just the whole team can't be a bunch of, like, Otto Porter Juniors. Like, you just can't. You can have one of those guys, you know, but, like, come on. Like,
you need a star. You need a star. We're still missing that star. But, you know, I was talking to, I told you this yesterday. I was doing my investigating and my reporting, and I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on with the Giants. What are they going to do? And I got tipped off, and I was like, you know, they don't make the playoffs. Farhan's going to be gone in the next 2 days. And now I'm starting to even doubt that, because I read Kawakami's article. It's not coming from anywhere. Kawakami, say what you want about him, he's tapped in. So he doesn't believe this is his last deadline. Shayna Rubin saying, yeah, I don't know if it's playoffs or bust for Farhan. We just don't know. There's a chance. There's a chance that Farhan Zaidi is running his team in 2025.
And there's a bigger chance that they're going to alienate. This is the way I would tell front office. If the front office is out there, and I know some of you do listen, you trying to tempt fate and pray that this thing gets turned around, you're playing a very dangerous game of tightrope with your fan base. And every day that you allow this guy to have control of the wheel, every single day, more and more people are jumping off that bandwagon.
No doubt.
And you are losing fans' engagement with every waking hour.
You're so right, because we saw this with the 49ers. They held on to Trent Baalke over Jim Harbaugh. And Kent Trent Baalke, for not one coaching hire, but two coaching hires. They kept the coaching hire when he hired Jim Tomsula and promoted him from D-line coach to head coach. And then when you fired him after a season and hired Chip Kelly. The Niners learned their lesson. Because let me tell you, those Chip Kelly days, there was me and maybe six other media members in that large press box at Levi's Stadium. Nobody was going to those games. Tickets were for $20 in the lower bowl at Levi's Stadium. You can't even, $20 don't even get you a Coca-Cola no more at Levi's Stadium. You know what I'm saying? So we've seen it firsthand with the 49ers just this last decade. When they bought them out and they kept Baalke along for the ride, fans said, we're not coming to the game. We're not buying jerseys, and we're not going to support you. And everything went down the drain for the 49ers.
The equivalent of the Giants' current lineup over the last, let's just say, average 4 years would be like fielding an offense of, this would be like Tim Rattay, Vance McDonald, Arnaz Battle, Tevin Coleman.
Who's the running back? Juju with the dreads? Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
We had Sean Drones.
But like
Jimmy Curley.
Pierre Garçon.
That's the equivalent of the Giants' offense the last few years.
But see, the Pierre Garçon move, that was Shanahan's first year. He just needed some veterans to get through that first year to teach the youngsters that they were going to draft.
This is
how you be a professional.
Yeah, but this is your
six. I get that. And so they pivoted off of that. The Niners have been in the big boy market for years. But they learned their lesson with Baalke. Nobody was going to the games. Hell, I didn't drag your ass down to the game to Santa Clara. Nobody was, hey, anybody want to come? Nobody would come.
The worst place to be in sports is hanging in this loserville
yeah.
of the Jeff Fisher Rams, which yeah. someone tweeted at us, and yep. it's the greatest analogy.
They're not even a Jeff Fisher Rams.
It's the worst spot to be.
At least they had players. they had players. I don't know. Like we were hoping we have some stars. We're hoping. Wishing upon a star here. The Golden State Warriors. Ask Warrior fans how tough it was from 94 to 07.
It's really hard. I mean, that's when you elevate the Bryant Cardinals of the world into like iconic fanboy status. That's the way. But like right. that's the equivalent of being like, yep. yes.
And with Warrior fans, we were just like, hey, we're going to go to the arena, go watch the other team. Right now, Giants fans are like, yeah, we're not going to go at all. Because I was at the Yankee series. None but Yankee fans in that bad boy. We've seen the Dodgers take over this place. Thank God the Dodgers don't come back to Oracle Park. Good Lord. Whew. What a show. What a show. Maybe we'll get to the Niners at some point this week. We haven't done it at all. Also, the August 6th deadline for Lowry marketing is coming up soon. So, anyway, let's get to Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I want Lumen to get in here and get some time here.
I don't have Chris any thoughts.
Chris A. on YouTube. Shout out to YouTube, by the way. Going through the struggles with their teams, failing makes you mentally tougher and gives you perspective. But it also breaks you down and depresses you and kills your spirit. And it takes a lot to get up off the mat. We still haven't gotten off the mat from Las Vegas at the Super Bowl.
Montez. Losing to every other team but the Arizona Cardinals twice in overtime in 2004 broke me as a Niner fan. Broke me.
Oh, yeah. I remember we did the Periscope.
It broke me.
Did Periscope in your basement? That's when Michelle was like, oh, wow, I see where this is going.
I mean, you want to know
really
where...
good couple of years.
You know, I know where things are at with me with the Giants right now. I'm watching the game last night, and around the seventh inning, I'm pondering, like, what's going on in Olympic handball right now?
Wow.
Like, I was thinking about that, and I don't know, you guys, Olympic handball, are you in? Do you guys ever watch that?
I am in on it. I started watching for an inning. When it was 5-0, I switched over to gymnastics, even though I already knew the results.
Simone Biles killing it.
Oh, yeah, they all killed it. It was team gold. I said, you know what? I got to get back to the train wreck. Mm-hmm. I needed a break, though. I needed a quick little walk, a pep talk to myself. It's like, all right, let me brace myself. But you know what? I'm not going to watch NBC Sports Bay Area. I'm going to watch NBC Sports California. I want to hear Kavnar and Shooty Babbitt. And boy, they were having fun in the booth. Go ahead, love me.
No, I just find handball such an interesting Olympic sport because it's just like, I feel like it shouldn't be a sport. If an Olympic sport, if I could walk around this office and get 8 guys and go play it right now, like, I don't know, that's just my thing on handball. Some of these Olympic sports are just so bizarre and out there for me, but handball's it's one of the weirder
ones. My boy
for me.
Scotty would take big umbrage with you ripping handball.
Is he a handball
guy?
He's
all in, bro.
It's a workout. By the way, the 3-on-3 team, both men's and women's for the USA, lost yesterday in 3-on-3. Jibber Fredette and Kenyon Barry, our boy. They're playing on the 3-on-3 team. They lost yesterday.
What? Jimmer's still playing?
Jimmer's playing in 3-on-3 for the Olympics.
Somewhere the Kings are. Yeah.
Jimmer Fredette was like a 10-year vet. He was still
now
playing his summer
name
league.
That's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Zach Wilson or Jimmer Fredette?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Zach Wilson still has some hope. He's going to play for Denver this year.
Zach Wilson's played in a regular season game. Like, it was a big deal when Jimmer got into a preseason game.
Hey, thank God for the Kings because Clay slipped to the Warriors. Thank the heavens. All right. That's it for us. We're exhausted. Are you exhausted, Giants fans? Evan and Guru.
Lucky us.
They'll talk about the Giants. By the way, Clay Thompson hanging out with Fezzi in Africa. They're having the time of their life. That was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity, at home or on the go. Get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Thank you to Shana Rubin. Thank you to Dave Fleming. Thank you to Sabrina Allison. Dan Seabreville at 4 p.m. Shask, we're going to be judges next year. We're going to be judging.
Shut up.